Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you suppose Jesus' very first words were to his people when he preached? Do you know? Huh? No, not "Lord have mercy." It wasn't this, "Hi, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God." It wasn't, "Hey, how are you all doing? I've got some great news for you." It was what you heard today. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," the kingdom of heaven. Great, wonderful, inspiring words. You want to draw a crowd? You want to get them in? You want to have them hear what you have to say? Tell them to repent. Tell them to repent of their sins, to change their ways, to confess their sins and their guilt before God and before one another, because that will make them feel oh so good about themselves. Jesus says today, as it's said in our reading from Matthew, he began to preach. This is his very first words of preaching. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So how do we take this invitation today? Is it a nice party invitation? Is it a nice feeling for us to hear that? "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Or is it God standing in front of you and me in our sins, in our sinful culture, telling us that he is here to wage war against the devil and your sins and my sins and our death and our despair? The devil is very real. He is. Not like you would think he is in Hollywood or elsewhere. The scriptures tell us he comes across as an angel of light, as one who seems to speak the truth. Oh, yes, and one who comes across as a very, very, very pious Christian in so many ways. I just returned yesterday from my alma mater in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Concordia Theological Seminary, where it was warmer there than it is here, and it was drier. And on Friday, we had an amazing lecture by Dr. Harold Ristow of Concordia Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario. Ristow is a former military chaplain, a major in the Canadian Army, Air Force, and has had worldwide experience working with troops and people from all over the globe who have been possessed by demons. Ristau spoke on Luther writing against the heavenly prophets, but more importantly, on Luther's view of demons and demonology, and even how Luther would do exorcisms. Ristau himself talked last week about having an exorcism at an Air Force base in Canada, about how he had an atheist soldier who went with him to stand guard with him to make sure everything was okay. And that soldier asked, after witnessing this exorcism, if he could learn how to become a Christian. Because after witnessing what he saw, he said, "I do not want that inside of me." Ristau said, "I come across as a kook when I talk about demons and possession, but it is very real. It is very frightening. It is very intimidating." And he said, "It is everywhere in our midst. It is not the demons coming in wearing tight red suits with horns and pitchforks. It is evil taking over people. It is feelings," he said, "even at times that we get of darkness and despair, of things being off with people that you associate and that you talk about. And it's even in the church." He mentioned about himself and others at times feeling oppressed by demons. That is why it's so amazing today what Jesus says: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is why we are still here today as a church proclaiming this message. And it's because, in many ways, there's a lot of confusion today over why we gather together as a church. The church at large in our country today has become very neutered. Many people think the church needs to change its ways, change everything in order to bring more people in, change the message to fit the culture, change with going along with all things so we can get more numbers, more programs, and certainly more respectability in society. But that's not what Jesus came to do. The kingdom of heaven is at hand to wage war and to overthrow not the United States or any other country. The kingdom of heaven is at hand to overthrow the kingdom of this world, the prince of the air, the power of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. And it is very, very real, whether you would like to acknowledge it or not. Just look at how we treat one another in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. It is very real, and it is a fight for your life and mine. The reading from our gospel today doesn't really communicate something about war. It actually sounds very nice. Jesus comes to help people. He comes and there's some followers, some disciples. He heals and he does good. And that's the Jesus everybody likes. My bosom pal, my buddy, the one who takes care of all of those things on the surface. He's there when I need him, but he doesn't get in my way with how I really want to live my life. But go back today or tomorrow or later this week and reread this gospel reading with invasion in mind, with a general going to war, and you get a whole different picture. For here comes the one who is the light in the midst of darkness. This is not just a metaphor or a figure of speech. It is the real invasion of light in the kingdom of darkness, sin, and death. Your sin, your darkness, your death and my death. And here is Jesus recruiting followers for him. He will now train in his methods of overthrowing the kingdom of the devil. And then Jesus begins doing what? Healing those who are ill, and as Matthew says very clearly, casting out demons. And if you think that Jesus himself encountered demons and that we don't today, you are wrong. Jesus came to loosen their grip on this world, on you and me, and to reverse the effects of sin. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he says forcefully. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not to make you feel bad, not to lower your self-esteem, but to rescue you from sin, death, and the devil. Do you see it? Do you see it in your own life? We certainly see it in our country today with the way that we treat one another, with all of the political rancor going on today. Do you see that this battle is still taking place? That the prince of this world wants to keep you in his kingdom of darkness, trying to make you like himself, angry, hateful, selfish, bitter, lustful, greedy? He's doing a pretty good job with me. But my kingdom, my own personal little kingdom, and your kingdom have been invaded by the one who seeks to overthrow our old sinful nature and to conform you to his image. The image that he originally had made for you in creation before it was lost in sin. He wants to create you in love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He wants to give you his spirit to bring you into heaven and to his kingdom. This is not nice Jesus, but deadly serious Jesus who has come to give you life. Not to demand things from you, but to give you life and freedom. That's the difference between the two kingdoms of heaven and of Satan. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of this world leads only to death. The kingdom of God that Jesus preaches in our midst today leads to life. Satan has done a good job of convincing us that our life here in this world and the things of this world and power and positions and grabbing of all glory with friends and fame and everything else in this world is truly what will make you happy. Jesus has come to shine the light of his word on those lies. And not only to show us real life, but to give us that life. Not to tell us to follow his example, but to be the one who gives his life down as a ransom for all. To overthrow our personal little kingdoms and the devil's kingdom and to establish his kingdom, a kingdom of faith. But he doesn't do it with great power and might. He does it subversively. While we usually think of that word in a negative sense, it's not meant so to be here. Rather, it is to say, instead of sending in a huge army of angels in an all-out frontal visible attack on Satan and sin in this world, he works in hidden ways, working victory through what looks like defeat, working through the cross, working not invisibly, but undermining our sin, our assumptions, our self-absorption, my personal kingdom, my excuses and yours, and turning us to him, all one person at a time. Very much like this chaplain mentioned about the exorcisms. There never is a group exorcism that takes place. It's always individually. And that's how it is with Jesus in our own lives. It's never about massive groups of people coming to faith and look at how big we've become. It is Jesus working personally in each of our lives, speaking his words of promise, of hope, and comfort to you to snatch you out of the death that we deserve in baptism, preaching his kingdom into our hearts, exercising our own demons through the words of forgiveness and strengthening you, his army, in the forgiveness of sins through the meal that he places before you. And in these small and seemingly weak and hidden ways, with a smaller group of people like you and me in a smaller little town amidst all of the rain and the wind, he is doing great and marvelous things in our midst for you and against the devil, weakening and undermining and triumphing over the devil in all things through the power of his cross. Now, to the world, his cross looks bad. It looks foolish, in fact, but the reality is that it's far from anything that he has come to do. As Paul says to us as well, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. the power of God at work for you today through His Word and His grace. The power of God that may look weak, but is in fact at work, creating in us what we were not before. That is all this chaplain would ever use in his exorcisms, is the Word of God and the speaking to the demon or demons possessing the person that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down his life and claimed this individual as his own. And that the demon has no power over that person. He uses this same word to establish his kingdom here at this church, in this place. No matter what we have or don't have, no matter how attractive we might seem to others or easy it is to come in and to go out in this place, he is still at work in this place, placing his cross down in our midst and telling us, I have won for you. And then he calls us to follow in his kingdom. But not all of us, all in the same way. Some we heard today were to be fishers of men, but also in other ways have other vocations. But this is never law. I've done this all for you, now what are you going to do for me? It is none of that. It is all gospel. To follow means to simply follow in the life that he has given to us. To follow means that because he has raised from the dead, you too will be raised from the dead on the last day. To follow means that because he has won the victory, he gives you the victory by his own cross. And we now have the ability to turn from our old life of sin, death, and the devil through repentance and receive the wonderful blessings of his kingdom which are at hand. And so we pray today, as we always should every day, that his kingdom would come and that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we also pray, as we will in a few moments, that he would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the devil. That is, to give us the eyes of faith, to see the battle rightly before us, to see our sin, to see our Savior, and to not be misled or deceived into false belief, despair, or any great shame and vice, as Luther would say in his small catechism, that we may see the kingdom of heaven at hand and repent of our sins, knowing that in that repentance God delivers us from evil, and that also he would establish in us firmly and surely in his kingdom, which has no end. And he's done it for you. No matter how far you have strayed, no matter what you have done, his forgiveness is here for you. It is given in your hearing. The same body and blood which once walked those roads, that cast out those demons, that healed those sick, is on this altar for you today. The same body and blood that hung on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, the same body and blood that walked out of that empty tomb is right in your midst here today because his word says so. Right now, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst, that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That his life be your life, that his victory be your victory, and that his kingdom be your kingdom. And that the devil or any demon have no claim ever on you. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen.